We are going to open up your Bibles this morning to John chapter 4. This morning we'll be talking about, I shared with you last week that we have a wonderful church. We have a good church. But my desire, and I believe the desire of every church member here, is that we become a great church. And one of the things that makes a great church is great members who worship God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, talking about worshiping God. You know, I read an interesting statistic, or I guess fact, really, but there's some 350,000 religious institutions in the United States today. 314,000 of those are Protestant churches, and they rate those down according to attendance, and about 59% or 177,000 congregations or churches average just a little under 100 members in worship from week to week. 12,000 average anywhere from 500 to 1,000. And of the mega churches, they counted 40 churches with attendance over 10,000 from week to week. These figures, we can find out a lot of things, and we can read into a lot of things about these figures. And obviously, I think one of the first things I think of when I see those figures and I look at the figures of the number of people who are living in the United States today, I think, man, we just need a lot more churches, don't we? Because if we filled up every church, even twice, there'd still be more people outside the church than there would be inside the church. And we need more churches. But that's not what I'm preaching about this morning. We can look at those numbers, and like I said, they tell us a lot of things. But what they don't tell us about all of those churches, those 350,000 churches, they do not tell us if they're great churches. You know, I can tell you from experience, having been in both the mega churches. I remember going in the First Baptist Church, Jacksonville, Florida, with two balconies, seats 10,000 people. A magnificent church, a dynamic church, a church that is on fire. And I've been in little churches and, you know, just a very small congregation. I've seen both sides, and I've seen many in the middle. But I can tell you, friends, it doesn't matter what size a church is. You see, there's some big churches that are cold and dead, and there's some small churches that are cold and dead. And the same is true. There are some dynamic, on-fire churches that are large, and some dynamic, on-fire churches that are very small. You know, there's a lot of difference in those churches. I think in those dynamic churches, that people understand that there's a difference between those who are sitting on the premises and those who are standing on the promises. Amen? I mean, their spiritually dead church members make spiritually dead churches. But on the other hand, church members who are on fire for God, well, they make great churches, regardless of the size. So this morning, I want us to talk about worshiping as church members, great church members who are worshiping a great and mighty God. Because that's what's going to make our church great. When we become focused on God, filled with God, and faithful to God in our worship to Him, friends, that's when we begin to become a great church, don't you think? Well, this morning, if you have the Bible, if you'll stand with me, I want to read that verse of Scripture to you from John chapter 4, verse 23. And it says there in verse 23, the voice of our Lord. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the opportunity to open up Your Word and to hear from You. Speak to us. Give us ears to hear, and a heart that is open, and a spirit that is willing to accept and receive and respond to Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Jesus is involved or engaged in a conversation with a Samaritan woman here at the well. As he's making his way through, he's tired at this time, and he arrives here at Jacob's well, and he sits down, and the woman comes, and he asks her to draw some water for him. And in the course of the conversation, he tells Samaritan woman, who is surprised indeed that Jesus is even talking to him because of the way that the Jews and the Samaritans looked at one another. And Jesus, in the course of the conversation, tells her that he is the living water. And he tells her that he is the Christ, the Messiah, who they are looking for. And so, I want to tell you this morning, my friends, as we talk about worship, as Jesus says here in verse 23, I want us to talk this morning about worship. And I want to tell you that in every great church, you will find great church members who worship God. Now that may sound a little bit simple. It may even sound a little bit strange to you that, hey, we're in church. Doesn't everybody worship when they come to church? Shouldn't every church have church members who worship God? Well, absolutely positively yes, but that's not always the case, is it? I mean, some church members say that coming to church is in and of itself worship. And of course, we call this 11 o'clock service our worship service. But folks, listen, just being in church isn't worship. Worship is not about the church. It's about, have I got your attention? Worship is about God. Amen. It's not about what we get out of the service, my friends, but it's what we put into the service. It's about God. Let me just share a couple of definitions with you. Alfred Griggs offers this in his book entitled Worship. He said, broadly speaking, prayer is the occupation of the soul with its needs. Praise is the occupation of the soul with its blessings. And worship is the occupation of the soul with God Himself. And he goes on to write, prayer and praise may be mingled in worship and included in the general thought, but properly speaking, each in itself does not constitute worship. Lord, save my soul is prayer. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul is praise. And thank you, Lord, for who you are is worship. I like what Timothy Keller said. And some of you probably remember him from the series that discipleship series that you went through not too long ago. He says, worship is pulling our affections off our idol and putting them on God. Worship is seeing what God is worth and giving Him what He is worth. Worship. That's a word that we don't use anymore, but that's what worship is. It's giving God His worth, what He is worth. And I want to ask you this morning, are you giving God what He's worth when you come to church? Are you truly worshiping God? Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Are you worshiping God when you come to church? Friends, I want to tell you, you're not worshiping God when you're in the church at 11 o'clock in the worship service and you're looking at your watch. Or you're pulling out your cell phone and you're texting somebody. Or you're looking up on something on the internet. That's not worship. It's not worship when you're in the worship service and you're thinking, man, I got a lot to do this afternoon. I just wish you'd be quiet. Go. Agenda this week, and you're working through them one by one. You're here, but you're not worshiping God. Worship is when our heart is focused on God and when we are filled with love for God. The writer of Psalm 45, and by the way, Psalm 45 is the first of three Psalms of praise where the psalmist is thinking about God and offering these thoughts of how who God is and who God is, just simply that He is God. And he's offering up these words of praise to God. He begins that psalm by saying, "My heart is overflowing with a good theme." Indeed. His heart is filled to overflowing with worship and praise to God as he focuses upon God's glory and his goodness. Have you ever just done that? I mean, just stand still, be quiet in the presence of God, and just try to wrap your mind around who God is and how great and wonderful He is, and that Almighty, Holy God knows who I am and cares about me. Have you thought about that? Friends, that's time to fall on our knees and worship, isn't it?
Amen.
Oh, my. Ooh. Beloved, we have a Heavenly Father who is good all the time. We say that. But friends, we need to know that. We need to believe that. And I'm here to tell you, friends, there is nothing or no one who should occupy our minds or our hearts but God when we come into the house of God. Oh, friends, we've got to focus on Him. I mean, we got, if there are things on our mind, if we're thinking about who we want to talk to, if our minds are on the problems, or if our mind on difficult situations, or if we have something, a relationship that is strained with someone else, friends, we need to make that relationship right so that we can come to the house of God and focus our worship on Him. We need to leave alt there at the altar. Go make it right and come back and offer our worship to God. Because He is worthy. Our hearts must be focused and filled with God. And when that happens, when our hearts are focused and filled with God, the natural overflow, if you will, is going to be what? Worship. We'll worship God because of who He is. Friends, it won't be long when you begin to think about God and what He's done that you'll begin to worship. Look at verse 23 again. It says, "The Father is seeking such to worship Him." Well, listen, dear friend, our God and Father is seeking church members that will worship Him. And if God is seeking those who will worship Him, worshiping Him must be important to God, shouldn't it? And if it's important to God, who else should it be important to but to His children, to you and to me, the church members, those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ and call God Father? How about you? You want God to find you worshiping Him? I do. When He's seeking me, I want Him to see me. And I want to see coming from a pure heart, a clean heart, one that's close to God and appreciates who God is. Amen? Can't say amen and say ouch, folks. All right. Got to be right. Our hearts must be focused and filled as we worship God, because we've been commanded to worship God. God's first command is, "You shall have no other gods before me." Psalm 29:2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Are we worshiping in the beauty of holiness? Are we coming to Him with a clean heart? Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Folks, these aren't suggestions. They're commandments, aren't they? They're commands. To worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We must obey. We must do what God calls us to do. If you are a believing church member, Your heart must be focused on God. Your heart must be filled with love for God. And you must be faithful to God when you worship. And that's not hard, is it? Not when we really think about God and who we are and what God has done for us. Because if we are a true church member, in other words, if we're a true believer, if we're a Christian, we can all look back to that day, wherever, whenever it was, no matter how long ago or how recent it was, we can all look back to that day when God looked at us and called us to come to Him. And we heard God and the Holy Spirit work in our lives and He saved us. He reached down and He saved our sin-filled and hell-bound souls. Now, we've got a lot of reasons to worship God. Friends, can I tell you that one reason right there? Salvation trumps them all. God is worthy of our worship. God's fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. I love what it says there in Hebrews chapter 10. Let me just share that passage with you. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast. Oh dear, let us hold fast, my friends, the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Friends, let me tell you, the church is the place where Christians assemble to worship God. Worshiping church members whose hearts are focused and filled and overflowing with love for God. Friends, that's where we meet, that's where we come so that we can worship God. And that's what makes God's church great. When we can assemble together and worship Him in spirit and in truth. God wants nothing more, nothing less than our hearts to be focused on Him and to be filled with love for Him and then to be faithful and obedient to Him and to His holy word. That's what makes great church members. And that's what makes great churches. The greatness of this church, my friends, depends upon you, the church member, being a great worshiper who is focused, filled, and faithful. Are you that church member? Let me just close with a story. One day a construction worker walks into a church. And he asks to speak to the pastor, and the pastor comes out and he says, "Preacher, I'm working on a construction site just down the road. And I just wanted to see if it'd be all right. I'm not a member of the church, but I just want to see if it'd be all right, sir, if I just come down here during my lunch break and just sit in the sanctuary for a little time." And the pastor said he didn't mind. So day after day, this fellow who introduced himself to the preacher as John would come about lunchtime. And every day he would come to the church. And he would slip in there and then spend about 30 minutes and then go back to work. But one day, the pastor was curious. And so he thought he would just kind of slip in there too and just see what John was doing. And on his lunch break there in the church. And he noticed that as John came into the church, he just came down to the altar. And he took his old hard hat off and set it to the side and got down on his knees. And he lifted up both hands in the air. And he just said, "Jesus, this is John. I didn't come to ask for anything today. I just want to tell you that I love you. You know, I ain't very smart. I can't read or write very well. But you loved me, and you saved me anyway. Jesus, I love you. I praise you for all you have done to me. I don't have much more time. I've got to get back to work. But I just wanted to let you know, Jesus, that I still love you as much today as I did yesterday. And then he takes his helmet and he stands up and wipes the tears from his eyes and he leaves the church. Goes back to work. Folks, can I tell you? That's the kind of church member. That's the kind of worship that makes a church great. When we just come openly and honestly to God. I'm not asking for anything, Jesus. I'm just coming to tell you that I love you. I love you more today than I loved you yesterday. Thank you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, this is Steve. And I just want to come and say thank you. I just want to say thank you that you saved me. I was a 16-year-old boy. Didn't have a clue about what life is about, or where I'd go, or what I'd do. I guess I too wasn't very smart in that area, but God, you loved me, and you saved me when I was 16 years old. And I just want to say thank you. Father, there's a lot of people here this morning who I hope to say thank you right now. Thinking about that day when they asked your son Jesus into their lives. God, they discovered that you loved them enough to send your son. And Jesus came and he died and gave his life on the cross. But God, that cross didn't keep him in that grave they placed him in, Lord. But he rose again and he defeated sin, Satan, and death. And God, you say in your word that if we'll believe and trust in him, God, that we'll live forever with you. Well, have eternal life. God, what a wonderful gift of love. God, I pray this morning that there would not be one here this morning, Lord, who would not know that gift as a part of their life, Lord. Lord, that you would speak to us and that we would hear that simple message that you love us enough to send your son. And that we'll just believe in him. We'll have faith in him. God, we can be saved. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this morning about our relationship with you. Father, there's another group here that's been saved a long time. And Father, there's probably some here this morning who would like to rededicate or recommit their lives to you. And still others, Father, who maybe like John just need to come down and say thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving me enough to save me. And I just want to tell you that I love you more today than yesterday. And maybe not even as much as I love you tomorrow. Father, speak to us in this time of decision. Father, this is a high and holy time. Lives weighing the balance between heaven and hell. Father, we're all bound for hell except for what you did in sending your son. I pray, God, for the salvation of all who are here this morning, Lord, that there will be none who leave lost. None who would leave who, should they leave this world, Lord, would spend an eternity in darkness, in the darkness of hell, separated from you and all that is good and pure and holy. Father, speak to our hearts, draw us to you this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Friends, will you come this morning as God speaks to you? The altar is open for you to come and to just talk to God. He's here to receive your decision. If you want to rededicate, recommit your life to say thank you, or if you want to know Him as your Lord and Savior, will you come this morning as we sing number 504, Without Him? Will you stand? Will you sing? And will you come?